I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
And I'm Susan Wilson. KC Current is KCUR's weekly magazine show. We use voices, stories, and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region. The foreclosure crisis hit some of Kansas City's neighborhoods hard, particularly neighborhoods that were already struggling with crime, disinvestment, and people moving out. As a result, there are parts of East and South Kansas City where blocks are pockmarked with vacant homes. The city would like to be able to acquire and sell off these properties quickly. That could happen with a bill that will have its final hearings in the Missouri State House this week.
The bill would create a land bank, which would allow the city to acquire unwanted properties, fix them up to sell, or demolish them, possibly to create community gardens or parks. David Park is director of Kansas City's Department of Neighborhood and Community Services. He testified in Jefferson City on behalf of the land bank bill. I caught up with him in his office in City Hall.
You know, if you can just figure the older neighborhoods with the where the property values tend to be lower, those are the ones that are been hit the hardest with the vacant foreclosed homes. Foreclosures have happened all around the city, you know, and not just in Kansas City, Missouri, but, you know, Johnson County, too. It's just that, you know, if a $200,000 house gets foreclosed on, it might then get sold for $150,000 or, you know, at a discount, which lowers everybody else's property values, but it gets sold, it gets reoccupied. It's for the very low-value houses. If you're talking at $7,000, $10,000, I mean, you know, fixed up, it might be worth $30,000. It doesn't take much in the way of needed repairs for that to get to the point that it's not a doable project. How many of those have we got? I mean, we know from our water records that there are about 13,000 houses across the city that haven't shown water consumption for a 90-day period, which we presume to mean that they're vacant. Of those, you know, we've estimated maybe 6,000 would actually fall into the vacant and kind of abandoned, you know, neglected category.
How many neighborhoods would you say have been the hardest hit?
Well, hardest hit, you know, starts getting to be a little bit of a subjective, but there's, you know, 100 that have been definitely, you know, noticeably negatively impacted.
Where did the idea of land banks originate? I'm wondering if you know sort of where that came up around the country.
Well, I can't say so much from around the country, but I think where I learned about it here for Kansas City was at the time that the federal government was coming out with the Neighborhood Stabilization Program grant, part of that stimulus grant a couple of years, well, more like, what, 3 or 4 years ago now, I attended a video conference. It was it was kind of a seminar, but I went to the Kansas City Federal Reserve, watched it on a screen, and part of the program talked about land bank because they were encouraging that local governments use land banks as a way to deal with the vacant and foreclosed upon homes. And then I did some research into how a land bank operates, how the ones that were in existence then did help deal with the vacant and foreclosed homes, and, you know, look to see what we could do here locally to get one established.
And how exactly does a land bank work?
It works with the tax foreclosure process, so that properties that, you know, when owners don't pay their real estate property taxes, they end up in other cities, other jurisdictions, they'll go directly into the land bank. In Missouri or in Jackson County, Missouri, we have public auctions where those properties are sold. And then the way the land bank would work, if they're not sold at that auction, the properties would go into the land bank. The land bank would also be able to bid on the properties at the auction, if there were any that they wanted on that. The land bank would also be able to receive donations from banks that have foreclosed upon mortgages. Many times they find out that they've really got a very low-value property. It's not selling. You know, it costs them more to keep mowing the yards and taking care of the house. They just as soon donate it to somebody and let them get it back, you know, put back into productive use. So the land bank would be an entity that could receive those donations and do something with the property.
So the bank wouldn't actually be purchasing properties that are for sale, or would it?
It could. I don't see that unless it's part of an overall strategy. If there's a strategy to, you know, trying to revitalize, say, a block or two within a neighborhood, there's a key property. It's part of that strategy that's owned by, you know, an investor or something. They might, you know, contact that investor and see if they'd be willing to go ahead and sell it or donate it so that it could be part of that revitalization effort.
But most of what you're suggesting are properties that aren't selling to anyone and would basically be sort of given to the land bank so that the bank could do something with them.
Correct, yes. And one of the things that we want to try to reduce is the amount of speculation that's going on. At a lot of the bank foreclosure auctions where they just auction them off, or even at our tax foreclosure auctions, what we've seen a lot of over the last few years is somebody from out of state will buy it. You know, maybe they are able to get it for $7,000. Then they turn around and flip it to somebody for $9,000 who has no idea what its real value is or how it fits within the Kansas City market. And they package them. You know, they'll say they've got, you know, maybe 10 of these that they sell as a package to somebody, and then they sell those off individually to others. And they just change hands from one speculator to another. Meanwhile, the property sitting out there vacant, maybe open to entry, blighting the neighborhood, city spending money to mow the weeds, pick up the trash. So we want to, if we can get at those auctions or from the banks, get control of those properties, then we can work with our local investors who do have an interest in actually taking the property, renovating it, selling it or renting it. There's a lot of local investors, what we'd call the good investors, that we can work with to get these properties out of their blighted condition and into a condition that's an asset for the community.
How is the land bank going to make these properties more appealing? And I mean, they're not selling already except to these speculators in many cases. What can the land bank do?
Well, in many of the cases, when that first speculator bought it, I think in my example I said like $7,000, It would have value at $7,000. If it was, but not for the flipping. If you were, saying, well, I can get it for $7,000, I can put some repair money in it, it'll still be worth what I can sell it for. It's just that after you flipped it four or five times, now you've got an artificial value in there that final investor wants that price for it. Well, it's not worth that. It was worth the seven. It's not worth what they're asking for it now. So if we can just get in on that chain earlier by getting the properties at those foreclosure auctions or instead of a foreclosure auction if the banks are donating it to the land bank, then we stop that cycle at the outset.
And you think that the land bank would then be able to sell it to somebody that actually could do something with it?
Yes. There are local investors that have been engaging in that business for years. They buy the distressed properties, fix them up, either resell them or rent them out, but they're making their money off of doing something with the property other than just trying to flip it to the next person. I mean, there's been studies that have shown like a vacant foreclosed home will lower the property values of adjoining properties by almost 10%. So that's, 10% lower value of the house next door, across the street from it, behind it. So if you get two of those houses on the same block, now you're starting to get a compounding effect of it. Because those other property values are lower, now the feasibility of putting in repairs on those homes starts, have a question. If the property owner's got a roof to be replaced and, they're looking at upgrading the property, well, do they do that or do they move on? And then, of course, the more you get of these, you start, that old supply-demand question. We've got more houses than we've got the demand by people who want to buy or move into them. We've got to do something to interfere with that spiral and stop it. The neighborhoods are still wonderful neighborhoods. There are a lot of wonderful people that live in every neighborhood in our city. I'm out in the neighborhoods. I'm attending neighborhood meetings in all the neighborhoods. And they are, like I said, good places to live, wonderful people there, and we need to make sure that message gets out too.
Do you think the land bank could have an effect on some of the neighborhoods that have the most vacant homes?
I do. If the land bank legislation gets passed and it's established in November, we're not going to see utopia next May. It's going to take some time to work back out of it, but I do think that it's one of the tools and a pretty key tool that we need to utilize here in Kansas City to lead us to improvements and a change in the population patterns where, some of these areas that have been losing population start to stabilize and start to gain in population again.
Now, we do already have the land trust of Jackson County, which takes over properties where the property tax hasn't been paid and they haven't been sold at auction. Why do we need this additional tool, the land bank? How is that different?
The land trust is sort of a land bank. It was established in like the 1940s. The land bank will replace the land trust, at least within the part of Jackson County that's located in Kansas City. The land bank has more or would have more powers, if you will, than the land trust. Land trust cannot accept property from any other source other than that tax foreclosure auction. They can't accept the donations from the banks, for example. They can't bid at the auctions, the tax foreclosure auction, as part of that process. The land bank would be able to, after they sell property, then for the first 3 years, the real estate taxes from that property would come to the land bank to help cover their cost of operations. One of the thing that's hindered land trust is they really don't have the ability to generate the revenue necessary to carry out their program. As a result, you know, the city of Kansas City, Missouri spends, you know, this year is probably going to be over $2 million maintaining properties held by land trust. Well, that's not fair to the Kansas City taxpayers. Land trust should be maintaining their own properties. They just don't have the revenue, and it's, you know, they're all well-intentioned folks. They just have a legal structure set up for them that just can't succeed.
The Show Me Institute has published a study that indicates that St. Louis's version of a land bank has rejected a lot of the offers to buy the property it was holding because it was holding onto it for future development. What's to say that that doesn't happen in Kansas City and people who want to buy some of these properties and redevelop the neighborhoods won't be able to?
I'm not familiar with the reasoning behind in St. Louis why they're holding properties for future development. I know that the way that the land bank, you know, will get structured in for the Kansas City one is it's going to be, it's very public, 5-7 member board, open meetings, open records. You know, it doesn't have a source of revenue other than the sale of the properties. It's not going to receive funding from the cities, funding from the county, funding from anywhere else. So, you know, a business model that says we're going to hold on to as many properties as we can just doesn't work for it. It can't survive that way. That's not to say they may not establish policies. The Genesee County Land Bank, for example, said it would not sell properties to out-of-state entities. They wanted it local. They wanted the ownership to remain local because that they found that those property owners were more likely to do something constructive with the property rather than just continue to flip it. So there may be some policies, something like that, to ensure that, you know, if we're selling a property, it's not just to somebody that's going to try to flip it and it's going to remain a blighting influence on the neighborhood going forward. We want to make sure that we sell it to somebody that is going to take care of it. Next door neighbors, most of the land banks, you know, have some sort of side lot, you know, for $25 or free. The next door neighbor can have it, expand the size of their yard. I would anticipate a lot of that.
The land bank will try and resell some homes, but will also demolish some in the cases where they probably would never sell.
Correct. And some of the cities like Detroit's and Cleveland have, you know, said we've got so many houses. Our population in these areas where the houses are located has been declining. Whole city populations in those cases have been declining. The likelihood of getting, you know, if we repaired them all, would enough people exist, you know, wanting to move into the areas to occupy all the houses after they're repaired? So they decided that would not work, so that they are focusing a lot of their energy on demolition of the structures, kind of reducing the supply to get it more in line with the demand. There are areas of the city, I think, that would be true of, that the population trend has been people leaving. We've got lots of vacant houses, more of a supply than demand, so that we do anticipate that demolition is going to be, you know, a big part of our efforts to deal with the vacant and abandoned home problem.
David Park, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, you're certainly welcome. Again, thanks for having me.
David Park is the director of Kansas City's Department of Neighborhood and Community Services, at least until next week's City Hall reorganization. Two versions of the land bank bill are working through the Missouri legislature. The Senate will hold a hearing on one of them next week.
Coming up, a new partnership aims to bring the green back to Kansas City. You're listening to KC Currents.